Do you want them to continue shopping? Do you want them to send a message? What would you say to them?
Yes, please. When you order, I encourage, when you order on Amazon, when you hit that click button, please go to the ALB1 Voices United site. Please take a moment to sign the petition to recognize the union. Look at the photos. Look at the working conditions. And demand that Amazon recognize the union so that we can work safely to fill those orders. Like I said, we understand people can't leave their home.
Underplayed and overlooked music of all kinds. I'm also a dedicated...
I live inside my own world of make-believe. Kids screaming in the cradles, profanities. I see the water ice covered in ink and bleach. Cross out the ones who heard my cries and watched me weep. I love everything. Fire spreading all around my room. My world's so bright, it's hard to breathe, but that's alright.
Hush.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, July 15th. It looks like 52 degrees in Preston Hollow and 65 over in Germantown. Soil temperature is 67 degrees. We have calm winds early this morning which allow for some foggy waterways and possibly a patch or two in other isolated areas. A nice warm day is in store after that. A high of 84 happens at 3 p.m. and dew points will be in the mid-50s, keeping it from feeling sticky. Overnight, we get some more nice sleeping weather and a low of 58. Saturday is looking hot with a chance for storms in the afternoon and a high of 88 expected at 3 p.m. 64 degrees overnight takes us into a wet Sunday with a stormy afternoon and a high of 89. Monday, the rain keeps on going, but things cool off a little with a high of only 81. Pollen levels for today will be medium. Same for Saturday, Sunday, it will be low. Today's tide schedule is high tide at 4:39 a.m., low tide at 11:35 a.m., high tide again at 5:19 p.m., and low tide once again at 11:44 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 76 degrees. And that data is for Friday, July 15th. If you're listening on the weekend rebroadcast, be aware that Saturday, 10 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., the sandbar under the bridge will be exposed. It's going to be exposed longer than last week, and it will be deeper than last week, as the water will be rushing to a lower point. And because of that, the current conditions will be strong. 10:45 p.m. to 2:10 a.m. on Sunday, it will reappear, and it will be even deeper because the water will be even stronger. And then it reappears midday, 10:50 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Sunday, and the current will likewise be strong. Sunset today will be at 8:16 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 5:29 a.m. Looking way up, we see Comet C-2017 K2 will be making its closest approach tonight, so break out those telescopes. Solar wind speed is currently 576.4 kilometers per second at 11.1 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 megahertz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2, quiet. The current sunspot number is 133. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
Just like to remind you that this is the WGXE Daily News. Joshua Solomon is reporting for the Times Union. U.S. Representative Lee Zeldin, the Republican nominee for governor, will unlikely run on the Independence Party line after the State Board of Elections invalidated nearly 13,000 signatures on his petitions. Zeldin is set to face Democrat Governor Kathy Hochul in the general election on November 8. His name will appear on the Republican and conservative lines, while Hochul's name will be on the Democratic and Working Families Party line. Zeldin's campaign submitted about 52,000 signatures, more than the 45,000 signatures needed to get his name on the third party line. However, the disqualified signatures left him well short after the board's ruling. The filing period ended on May 31st. Zeldin's petitions were challenged by the New York Libertarian Party, who not only contested the signatures were invalid, but also noted that 11,000 of the signatures were photocopied duplicates. Andrew Kolstein, secretary of the Libertarian Party, said in a July 14th news release, and I quote, "Republicans talk a lot about election integrity, but the Zeldin campaign attempted to fly under the radar and submit over 11,000 fraudulent signatures in an attempt to get the third line on the ballot," end quote. The Board of Elections does not make determinations on fraud related to petition signatures, so the matter is now pending in court. The board ruled that 12,868 signatures were invalid, leaving Zeldin with 39,228. If a judge overrules the board's decision, Zeldin's name could still potentially appear on the Independence Party line. On Zeldin's campaign website, it calls for people to join, and I quote, "Team Zeldin's Election Integrity Task Force," end quote. The website says, and I quote, "Our team will be working around the clock now and into November to ensure we have fair elections, but we can't do it alone," end quote. Zeldin voted against certifying the results of the 2020 presidential election. And you can read more about this story in the Times Union. Michael DeMasi is reporting for Albany Business Review. The former Thompson House Resort in Windsor has reopened under new ownership and with a new name. The resort, now called Wilder Wyndham, is the third property acquired by Wilder Hotels of Los Angeles and its first in New York. The resort on Route 296 held a soft opening July 13th. John Flanagan, CEO and founder of Wilder Hotels, said the company was able to avoid the sharp decline in occupancy rates other hotels saw over the past 2+ years because the properties are focused on outdoor experiences with plenty of land, separate lodges, and buildings. Spread across 20 acres, Wilder Wyndham includes 7 lodges, inns, manors, and cottages with a total of 110 rooms, an oversized in-ground heated pool and recreation room, Babblers, a restaurant and bakery, and 4,000 square feet of indoor and outdoor event space. 2 of the lodges have opened so far, as well as the pool, bakery, and most of the outdoor activities. The restaurant will open soon. Flanagan said, and I quote, "We're going to be opening rooms constantly over the next 2 months, and should be fully completed by the end of September with all 110 rooms, end quote. Wilder Hotels bought the property in June 2021 for $2.27 million. According to the Greene County Industrial Development Agency, the total project investment is $20.1 million. Flanagan said about 30 people have already been hired. Total staffing will exceed 50 once the resort is fully open. And you can read more about this story in the Albany Business Review. The Daily Freeman is reporting the city of Kingston has issued a drought alert in connection with lowered water levels at the Cooper Lake Reservoir, according to a press release from Mayor Steve Noble's office. The alert is the first stage of the Water Department's response plan for dealing with the problem. During a drought alert, all city water customers are asked to voluntarily conserve water whenever possible. Water Department Superintendent Matthew Desard said in a statement, and I quote, "We all use water differently, so please take a minute to think about how you can conserve," end quote. He said suggestions include taking shorter showers, running dishwashers and washing machines only when full, repairing leaky faucets and toilets, and turning off the faucet while shaving, soaping hands, and brushing teeth. Desard said conserving is voluntary at this stage, but if the reservoir continues to drop, mandatory restrictions could be imposed. Noble pointed out that water levels are low despite the July 13th downpour. He said, and I quote, "We ask all of our residents to be conscientious during this time and conserve as much water as possible," end quote. The town of Williamston, Massachusetts, this week issued a non-essential outdoor watering restriction. The watering of lawns, public parks, and recreational fields, gardens, flowers, and ornamental plants has been banned until further notice. And you can read more about this story in the Daily Freeman. That wraps up the WGXC Daily News. Local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day, a nice weekend, and remember, the WGXC Summer Pledge Drive has begun. You can help us keep WGXC viable online and over the FM airwaves by committing to sustaining support in the form of a monthly tax-deductible donation for as little as $10 a month. Visit our website at WGXC.org.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. We're here joined by some special guests today. Would you guys like to introduce yourself?
Hello, everyone. My name is Mayuko. You might actually recognize my voice because I'm on this very radio station, WGXC, myself, on Wednesdays. First and third. MT. I host a radio program called Mirage Station, but I'm here to talk about some other things today with the other guests.
Thanks, Mayuko. Yeah, my name is Brian, and I'm here as an artist, as a club fan, as a clubhouse, youth clubhouse, work in certain ways, and as a health Columbia and Greene counties. And we're wonderful. It's so wonderful to be here. And
it's wonderful to have you guys on. So, where would you start playing? I think we should, you know what? I think it'd be good to say the first thing you see when you walk in.
First thing I see when I walk into art.
What popped out to you?
Beautiful nature, and that might be a surprising thing because it's an art park, but I, first of all, it's a nature preserve. What about, I don't know, other impressions?
Mayuko? Well, they're a huge, very large scale sculpture. This is a sculpture park, sort of in, what's the word, like merge into the surroundings very nicely. There's lots of architecturally interesting, using lots of different materials, large scale sculptural installations here and there, but it's really nicely merged into the landscaping design. And I don't know, it's not just about enjoying what artists do, but also being in the nature, like nature and artificial components of the space really merge well together.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, besides, look, you can just see so many things. It's like, for me, all of them to go to. There's definitely a few favorites I had. What about you, Lincoln? What's
since I, they have, I don't know how necessarily tall. I'm sure most of you guys are familiar with the game basketball, or like it's one hoop. It's one hoop, one rim, you know, one everything. And this particular hoop, this particular say, it has one like pole that it's standing on, well, I guess like that it's attached to, and then it has hoops coming off of it, and because you know I like basketball, it drew me to it, and then shoot on it a couple times, was it yesterday?
Yesterday, yeah.
Yesterday, mm-hmm. And that was fun. Made it a few times, so yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't make it at all because I can only hit shots off the backboard, and that made me sad. Active, like, there's a look in, and then you. There's so many cool things.
It's a nice interpretation, yeah. Noah. I like the way you explained that as being part of the art. And yeah, at Art OMI, we talked a lot about taking back art, about art that is allows you into it, that's not exclusive, it's not a gallery retail environment or something.
Right, it's more of a democratizing the art experience, being an active participant of installation, and we were there also to create work together this week, so that's like the most active participant rather than being a consumer of, you know, what's being provided by supposedly important artists or whatever the people might be. So you're the one who's, you know, making meaning out of it. You're the one making the experience out of it, as opposed to, you know, being a consumer, which is most of the time what we are in this, you know, modern life. Buying stuff is what we do, but at our OMI, it's more about what we want to contribute to the piece, what we could do, how can we be playful with the basketball basketry that you were talking about. So that's a very big component of the experience.
So I think we kind of got the vibe of this place settled down. People kind of know what it's about now. So I think it's about time we get into like the project, its roots. And I think we should go down the list, touch to the who, what, where, why, when of the project.
Thank you for setting it up so beautifully.
Of course.
Yeah. Mayuko, do you want to start?
Let's start with who was there?
Yeah, we'll start with who.
Start with who? Do you want to explain who?
Bunch of brave teenagers between the ages of 13 and 18 who I was nervous about this workshop. The whole idea was to make art in bathrooms that talked about mental health issues, that talked about maybe substance abuse issues, maybe talked about vaping in the bathrooms in schools. And I've talked to a lot of teenagers that tell me about how it's embarrassing or awkward for them to talk about such issues and wondering how their peers might think about it and worrying, you know, maybe wondering anyway. So I want to first of all say that for me, it was a very like a courageous conversation that we had all week. Mm-hmm. And the who, I will also say, I'm very happy to say that we had a very diverse and like almost like dangerously volatile mix of people that I thought was beautiful, including some people that were up from Brooklyn. You all who are more like Greene County, they were Columbia County kids. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I'm at the point in my life where I only really like things that feel risky. That's the only way it feels alive to me. And I felt like all week it felt vital, it felt alive, it felt almost dangerous. But yeah, I'd like to hear from everyone else.
Right, so you covered who was there and why we were there. I guess I'll go into the what part. We were working together on an art installation that is now in the public bathroom of Art OMI. And I really, really hope all of you listening to this program right now go and look at what these youth have to say about mental health issues. And what I've been really, truly inspired by throughout this week is like these people really have important things to say that adults don't necessarily know. Like, I was really surprised by a lot of the things I heard from you guys. You two really brought really inspiring things, ideas, and the things that we don't know you brought to the table, and I really appreciate that. And I really hope lots of adults would hear your voices, and I urge you to go to Art OMI. And we're also doing a survey that's incorporated in the art installation, and I urge you to go to Art OMI, check out the bathroom, and answer these questions that's being asked by the youth. Because I really think you guys had a really good point in many things about mental health. Not even adults are necessarily aware of what's going on in their minds. And I really appreciated the honesty and the straightforwardness of the conversation we had throughout the week. And I really want all of you, especially adults, to go and listen to these voices. So that's what we were there for. Do you want to add anything to that?
Yeah, I would love to. So I want to touch on the how, because like the whole process, it was super fun. Like getting like working together, like especially with a group of people. And then you had the synergy, but getting on that how, we got stencils from the plastic sheet, and we cut into a plastic sheet of Mylar to make a stencil, rather, and then we painted that onto a canvas, because when you do put your work in public areas, a lot of the times, it isn't always gonna stay intact, but I would say Art OMI is a pretty good place to leave it intact, I would say, because it's like an art place, and you're going there for art, most people wouldn't have any problems with that. But yeah,
we should probably from the two bathrooms and the education pavilion, just to, in case you want to try to pick.
Yeah.
So So it's within the arts camp, and it's an all-ages art camp. And so these are works that were created for the bathroom and installed in the bathroom. Go ahead.
I've lost my train of thought just for a second. Installing it, I mean, what have we not touched on? We touched on the how, the why.
Well, you know, Lincoln, I'm curious to hear from you, too.
I guess I can touch on the how, because, like, for me, how it was for me. So the whole, it was fun, but the cutting the mylar or that was very difficult because we had to use X-Acto knives, and those are not always the easiest to cut with. But like, I was able to, but it wasn't the most, it wasn't the easiest thing. So my idea was, I'm gonna get into like, I guess what our projects were. My idea was somebody meeting. I felt like that was just like a powerful thing to see at a bathroom, in a bathroom. And my question, it was, how can you find peace, right?
How can you find peace in the bathroom, if I remember
yeah,
right?
Yeah, how can you find peace in the bathroom?
That was a potent question.
And yeah, so what I did with that piece is I put it on over top of the bathroom sign, because ROMI, they have, both bathrooms are open for anyone, like, regardless of your gender. So I wrote everyone on my painting, and then put it over top of the already there signs that says everyone, so that when you look at it, it was supposed to mean like, not only is this bathroom open for anyone, it's also like supposed to bring peace with it. Like, it's supposed to be a place you go find peace at. So that was really what I was going for.
This is remarkable. I have to say, the way that you subverted this idea of having a sign for the icon of people in the bathroom, which said everyone already, but I was really impressed by how you did what we were hoping to do, I think, in the sense of you integrated your project into the context of the bathroom. And maybe you want to say something.
I do want to say something about this. So this piece that DJ Ricky had created is installed at the door where the sign for the, you know, which gender the bathroom is, like the sign that indicates which gender. I'm now kind of hoping that all the bathrooms sort of like use that symbol, the person meditating, the symbol of person you know, because even that sign that's on the door right now at ROMI, like, it's that, I've seen it elsewhere too, like half of the human shape is like wearing a skirt.
Yeah, it's a
and
generic.
The other half is like a supposedly man.
Yep.
So it's like, it's inclusive to both gender, but this is what I'm learning, especially throughout this workshop, that, you know, we all exist on the spectrum. It's not just, you know, men and women, and there's all sorts of like in between places. And I feel like that meditating person, that the artwork you created, like truly like more maybe inclusive, because not every woman wears skirts and
or even transcends
right
sexual orientation,
right?
Yeah.
So it's even more inclusive, and I appreciate that they have this inclusive sign at ROMI. I mean, don't get me wrong, but that meditating person sign can be like truly universal thing to go on every bathroom, and that you need a peace of mind, especially in the bathroom. You need the privacy, and you don't want somebody knocking on your door and like, you know, asking you to come out as soon as possible. Like, you want to be like peaceful and relaxing in the bathroom. And I just wanted to mention like why bathroom part a little bit more. That this art installation, why it's happening in the bathroom, is because bathroom is sort of a private space within the public realm. So when you install a piece of artwork touching some personal topics like health, like physical health, mental health, that are very personal, you can have one-on-one conversation with the viewer, because typically people in the bathroom are just by themselves unless they need some kind of assistant to be in the bathroom. Typically people are on their own. So even though it's a public space, in some way you can have very personal conversation and people can react to the art installation that's in the bathroom without, you know, feeling, well, with feeling safe answering, responding to this art installation. And that's where the survey component comes in, that the questions that students are asking through this art installations are very personal, that you might feel scared to answer, but you could feel safe because you're on your own in the stall. So that's the aim of having art installation specifically in the bathroom.
I mean, it's definitely interesting. You're in a place where you can really connect with yourself and answer the questions. And the questions were super interesting, by the way.
Yeah,
like, yeah, get back, because it's about time to play the news update for everybody listening. And just for a reminder, you are listening to WGXE 90.7 FM Clubhouse Radio, and we'll be right back after we play a song and then the news. See you guys soon.
Beautiful.
And if you want these kind of dreams, it's Californication. It's the edge of the world in all of Western civilization. The sun may rise in the east, at least it's settled in a final location. It's understood that Hollywood sells California. Station.
destruction leads to a very rough road, but it also breeds creation. An earthquake's out to a girl's guitar, that's just another good vibration. And tidal waves couldn't save the world from
WGXC Newsroom. This is the WGXC News Update.
Purina Ryan Whalen has the inside
story for Spectrum that officials with New York's Office of Cannabis Management said July 14th that recreational cannabis sales will begin sometime this year. Also on July 14th, the Cannabis Control Board approved regulations and an application process for conditional retailers with two primary eligibility points. Office of Cannabis Management Executive Director Chris Alexander said, and I quote, "The first is that they have been impacted by a marijuana-related conviction. That is, a conviction that occurred prior to the passage of the new cannabis law in New York. And the second is that they have experience owning and operating a small business," end quote. The office said it expects to initially approve 100 to 200 conditional cannabis retailers. New York legislators legalized cannabis in April 2021, with regulations needed in place before retail sales begin. Read more about this story at Spectrum. Andrea Mago is reporting at Porcupine Soup that it has been almost a year since the new Baltimore service area on the New York State Thruway shut down for renovations, and it will be almost a year before it reopens. Jonathan Dougherty, Deputy Director of Media Relations and Communications for the New York State Thruway Authority, said on July 14th, and I quote, "Right now, New Baltimore is on schedule to open in the first quarter of next year. That is subject to change, and we will be announcing an opening date closer to that time frame," end quote. Fuel is for sale, but restaurants and restrooms are closed at the New Baltimore Rest Stop. The Capital Region Welcome Center, opened in 2018 across from the New York-Baltimore service area, still has food, local produce, and merchandise for sale. New Baltimore service area first opened on April 3, 1957. And was renovated in 1992. The service area will include an Apple Green Market store, Starbucks drive-thru, Shake Shack, and Panera Bread restaurant when it reopens in 2023. And you can read more about this story at Porcupine Soup. Mid-Hudson News reports the New York Environmental Conservation Commissioner Basil Sagos has issued a fire danger warning as dry conditions increase the risk of wildfires. Sago said, and I quote, "The sunny summer weather is giving people ample opportunity to enjoy New York's outdoors, but it is also increasing the risk for fires. When building a campfire, please make sure to always keep an eye on it and pay attention to the wind. And when finished, make sure the fire is fully out and cold to the touch," end quote. Recently, the city of Kingston issued a drought alert, and the town of Williamstown, Massachusetts, issued a non-essential outdoor watering restriction. The watering of lawns, public parks, and recreational fields, gardens, flowers, and ornamental plants has been banned there until further notice. Right now, most of New York is at a moderate risk for fires, meaning that any outdoor fire can spread quickly, especially if the wind picks up. Citizens should take care with campfires or outdoor smoking. And you can read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. And that wraps up the WGXE News Update. Local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXE.org. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day, a nice weekend, and remember, the WGXE Summer Pledge Drive has begun. You can help us keep WGXE viable online and over the FM airways by committing to sustaining support in the form of a monthly tax-deductible donation for as little as $10 a month. Visit our website at WGXE.org.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm DJ Sean Money. I'm here with...
Hello, everybody. So, I got a little... See, he came in, and now he's going to be the sound engineer. Now we're vibing. We can swap
like
it
that.
Around. Yeah. Surprise guest. Look at that.
These guys share...
It'd be great.
Right here. I like this.
I have a great idea. So, before we left, we talked about how we got some new survey questions.
Oh, really?
And the thing is, the group here, right, we're kind of all used to them. We've heard
okay,
them.
Okay.
So, why don't we
oh, yeah,
we
oh,
them
yeah.
out of you?
Ah. I got you.
Okay, I was set up.
You
okay.
walked right into the
I
trap.
Walked into the
All right. There are some I, serious questions, too.
Yeah,
these aren't easy. These
well,
are going to make you question your life.
Them,
and he doesn't
them
know them at all yet, right?
Some of the questions are yes or no questions. Right. So, like, there are a few ones.
But you know. Oh, I just like walked
into
it. Okay?
Ready? It's a
yeah, I got it. I got you.
Should we real quickly? These questions were made by who, though? Who made up? Who came up
that's
with these
a
questions?
Great question.
Do I'm gonna say like everyone's name now is there?
No, no. Just like how are these questions?
How are these questions made?
Well,
these are all made by youth. I just want to make sure that everyone knows that these questions were all made by youth, by teenagers, asking yourselves.
Yes.
So, go ahead.
All right. So, the first question for you.
All right.
Hit him with a hard one.
For you.
All right. Is this
all
a
right.
yes or no question?
Nope.
All right.
You don't start off easy.
Damn. All right.
Do you think you would do better in school if there were better food options?
Yes. Yes. Completely. Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Completely.
Yes or no? All right.
Well,
can you explain why?
Okay, so think of it like this, right? Our bodies need a certain amount of nutrients and energy throughout the day, right? To get you up, get you motivated, get you moving, stuff like that. And mind you, you're in school for a good amount of time throughout the day. And the food they give us is pretty garbage. And at least I know me, if there's some food that I don't want to eat, I'm not going to eat. So I just won't eat. But that's just me. So if they give us more options, more nutrients, and more better suiting food options, school will be better.
Word. Yeah, not even going to lie. Okay. School food is below mid.
Yeah,
it's legit below mid.
There's certain, like, Fridays where they got that pizza. There's times where
how
it's
you
good.
Pizza,
bro,
come
pizza,
on.
Bro,
hey,
pizza.
You can't give them that win. That's
they're time, bro, they got buffalo chicken.
Okay, that's fair.
Buffalo chicken.
Buffalo chicken wraps? No,
yeah.
You,
that works.
Bro,
when I used to, that stuff was good.
All right. Now I'm about to ask you a little more. All right.
Come on.
How much spending on you?
That's not even the hardest question.
Wait, what? That kind of threw me off. I'm not gonna, like...
Ready? How much are you spending on you? How much time do you spend on you?
Every day.
But you don't need, like, an exact, like, number of hours, minutes.
A good amount of time,
okay.
I think.
Oh, I'm glad you said that.
Okay, that's good.
That question threw me for a loop, I'm not gonna lie. I'm solo. Sorry, that song stuck in my head.
Alright, well, that was
So what do you do? What do you mean by
like, what do you
time
yeah.
yourself?
How do you spend time on yourself?
For me, it's playing a video game or you're playing football. Yeah. That's me.
Okay.
Hey, y'all have all answered these questions at least like once, right?
Nope.
No, we did when we were coming up.
can't say that we have.
Are you kidding me?
We were there for the process, though. So we already knew the questions.
Yeah.
So we had time to think. You didn't. It's just off the head. That's how it's going to be with people when they walk in the bathroom, right? They have to answer the questions.
You're right.
Good point, good point.
Right?
You're right.
All right. Okay. Now I'm going to get to the real, real hard questions. Okay, ready? What is your reaction to... That's not even the hardest. It's not even one of the really hard ones. I'm letting you off easy right now. What is your reaction to seeing someone smoking or vaping in the bathroom? How do you react to it?
I kind of don't got a reaction no more, to be honest. To be honest, I don't got a reaction no more. I'm not going to lie. When you were asking that question, I was like, dang. Should I give the honest truth or should I give a default? Like, truthfully, I don't really got no reaction no more. You feel me?
Yeah,
just like everyday thing.
A lot of people just kind of take it.
Yeah, keep it moving. It's none of my business.
Alright, this dude.
Nobody wants a snitch.
Word.
That doesn't help anybody. Because they're just going to be referred to the same system that puts everybody.
What is that going to help me? So what is that going to help me? I'm going to tell someone, you get suspended, you get mad at me, come back, want to fight me. And then I'm like, oh, I could just walk away and it's none of my business. Word.
Now,
a hard one, bro.
You want the, okay, bro. Say no more. How?
Life is always unpredictable. Life is.
How?
All right, I can tell you how. You want to know why? Because nothing's ever guaranteed and nothing's ever certain. Time is always moving. That's how time is.
Okay. Uncertain. All right. Ready? Ready?
Oh, all right.
Pray yourself.
I can do this all day.
When was the last time you felt like a human being?
Oh, my God. What's today? Friday? Wednesday.
Okay, look.
Okay. Wednesday.
Okay. Can you
people that also play football and that had a very similar interest in mine.
So you felt... Okay. I like that.
Yes.
Oh, God. I wasn't prepared for that question.
Yeah, that's the hardest.
That one.
Okay.
Thank God. Ready? How do you feel about the school counseling system?
All right, so you're not. I'm trying to wear this. They're meh. I think I've only met like one school counselor that I mess with, OD, and that was one. The last school counselor that I had in my school, at least, I made her cry and I made her quit.
Oh.
Wow.
How?
What'd you do?
Did you bully her?
No. It wasn't even like... Okay, so... There was this kid in my class, and he has autism. And he, kept blaming me for things. And for everybody that knows me, I hate getting blamed for things that I don't do. Especially if I know I didn't do it. And I was telling him that, and things got escalated. And me being me, the kid like came at me, mind you, I didn't put my hands up. And he like, it was kind of like a hug. Or like, okay, he basically tried to put me in a chokehold, but like, it was kind of like a hug. And it was weird, like, you know, like when someone puts their arm over you and it's like this, but don't put pressure. It was like that, and in my head, I took it as like, he's being hostile to me, but I didn't do anything to him, and I was frustrated, like, I mean, like, extremely frustrated. And then I still got in trouble for something I didn't do. And it was a pencil. I promise you, I swear to God, it was overthrowing a pencil. He got mad at me. It was overthrowing a pencil, and I didn't do it.
Damn.
Word.
Damn.
And then, the lady kept trying to stick up for him, and he was in the wrong, and I was extremely frustrated. Mind you, before that, I already didn't like it because of certain reasons. And me being me, when I get mad, I get very mad. So I cursed her out, and made her cry. And then when she was crying, I laughed in her face. It sounds very messed up. That's just how it was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, like, a couple days later, found out she quit. Or found another job to another district.
Wait.
That's intense.
And I was pretty happy. I mean, it sounds messed up, but I was pretty happy.
Whoa. A word?
Because you got justice.
Yeah. And then they rehired someone named Miss Fisher. And I love her to death. Like, I love her to death. She's the best counselor in that school. In my school.
Why?
Well... What makes her the best?
Because she actually listens to the things that you do, and if, like, there's something, like, really wrong, she doesn't just send kids away. She actually, like, communicates, and then she'll tell the principal how you feel, and, like, she'll try to not speak on your behalf, but, like, try to, I guess, justify it from, like, adult perspective, and, like, really, like, you know how, like, adults be like, mm-hmm, yeah, uh-huh, but they don't do nothing? She the total opposite.
Word. W. Counselor was mom was like that.
And honestly, if the counselor is really just trying to get people in trouble over things instead of solving issues, then I don't think she belongs as a counselor in any school. May I just have that?
Actually, speaking of that last counselor, Muffle, I mean to interrupt you. The last counselor, like, during COVID season and all that, there was, like, a very, like, topic. Because I had, like, a photo of my grandmother. She passed away. And she kept, like, at the time, like, I didn't want to answer questions. And she's like, how she passed away? And she was just asking, like, really, like, intrusive questions. And I was like, I don't know you. I just met you today. I was like, ever since then, I just never liked you. So then, eventually, I made her quit. Word.
Interesting. Because the other say it's a good story.
Word.
I am about to hit you with some more difficult.
All right. Yeah. By the way, it's 6:51.
That was an easy one. We've been hitting some difficult ones.
Do you live in the moment?
No. You know me. I don't live in the moment.
Why don't you live? Duh. Why? What's that?
Because I'm overthinker. I live in the future.
Duh. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Why would I want to live in the present when I could be thinking about me being a millionaire? Duh. Come on.
I mean, I respect that. You're happy about it.
Word. But it comes with a downside, too.
Which is?
Some of the downsides is that you can't take things in the moment. Mm. At least, like, with me, like, if something go wrong, like, especially, like, with negativity, like, if something go wrong, it kind of don't affect me or hurt me. Because, like, I'm like, oh, I already thought of something like that 10 times worse. You feel me? So, yeah.
Well, I feel like that's great. You're able to handle stuff when it hits you hard. One thing that's good, a piece of advice that I was told, I'm still an overthinker, right?
Word.
You can't fix it. It's not something to be fixed, but you can just handle it, right?
That's
true. Something somebody told me is that you can only affect, or you can only change yourself. The only, like, power you have over anybody, anything, is yourself.
Right?
That's a valid quote.
Yeah.
Which is why when you think of, like, all the bad stuff that's happening, yeah, it could happen. But if it does, you gotta handle it, and you gotta handle it in the moment. Because a lot of the times, overthinking things can lead to unrealistic conclusions.
Facts.
Nah, yeah,
facts.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
I don't know, Mayuko, did you have something you wanted to say?
Oh, go ahead.
No. What upsets you most about school?
Thought that was going to be something else. I thought it was going to be a whole nother question. I thought you were going to ask what upsets me. What upsets me about school is ignorant people. Ignorant people that I don't listen.
Is it the students, the teachers, both? Nah, I thought so.
You know, like, when you have, like, a person to be like, I'm stuck in my ways? Exactly.
Yeah.
That.
I mean, I would actually say a lot of the times it's worse when it's the teacher, because they're supposed to be the one actually helping you.
Right.
And a lot of the times I see it.
That's dead true. The only teacher I really like is my math teacher, my science teacher, to be honest.
I'm not going to lie. I have a kind of a story. I don't know if you could call her ignorant, but I was, you know Gavin Hurley, right?
Oh, no.
All right, so I used to always joke around with him. And, like, he has very long hair. And he took it as a joke. So it wasn't like I was bullying him or anything. Like, it was, like, a joke. And... I used to always, like, just mess with his hair, like, but he would laugh about it.
What grade
grade? What grade?
It was like sixth grade.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
And
Toby's with them during sixth grade. He never said that.
And one time, I literally had a pencil, but like with the tip pointing up, and like I kept bouncing it off the table, like this had like, but I was sitting next to him and I bounced it and like it hit him. Like in the head, not like in the eyes or anything,
yeah.
In the head. And the teacher saw it and she called me an idiot.
Oh, and Miss Cazalia?
No, Mrs. Hedges.
Wow. Not gonna lie, that's kind of messed up.
She called me an idiot. So I'm like, what? You called me an idiot? She was like, yeah. I was like, bet. Austin was. Went home. I went home and I was like, Antonio, my teacher called me an idiot.
Bro.
You would have seen the look on her face when I told her that. She wanted to go to that school and murder her. Like, literally.
Bird.
And then the teacher, I wrote a report about it and everything and brought it to the office because I was like, my teacher's not about to call me an idiot and get away with it. Like,
no lie. I would have taken my own hands. I would have spazzed on her.
Not going to lie. I like how you just took it into the high road. Your little sixth grade self. I'm about to talk to this person's manager. I almost said a bad word referring to that teacher.
Actually, matter of fact, I probably would have done the same thing in sixth grade.
So I reported to the office, and then she came to me and talked to me about it, and then she gave me a king size three musketeers bar. Shoot, I mean, thank you for the candy, but I ain't forget.
You
should have
just took the candy and then just walked away without saying anything.
Word.
And then she was like, here, I'm gonna give this to you because I'm sorry, and I was just, you know. I let my emotions get the best of me. I don't know, whatever. And I was like, all right, it's fine. She was like, can you just behave better in class? I think I behaved better for like a day and a half, and then I was right back to the same way. Like I wasn't even really disrespectful or anything.
It was an accident.
Literally, I was just like, all right, I'm not gonna lie. There was times where like, I feel like everyone's done this. You're talking when the teacher's talking, and they tell you to stop. And then you start doing it again.
Yeah.
Not like purposely trying to be disrespectful.
Yeah,
but just
you end up getting into a conversation.
Yeah.
Like.
And then Stacey had that disrespect and then you get offended and then, yeah.
What
so,
was I always wondered?
I held myself back from as much as I could from just conversating because I was like, the way our desks were set up, there was like three people in front of me.
There was no way not
somebody
to.
Somebody on the left of me, somebody on the right of me. So, like, I'm not just like, I'm going to talk eventually.
Yeah.
And, she was just like, I don't know. I just didn't like how she was. And then she ended up, I think, 2 years after, she ended up quitting or retiring or something like that.
That's tough.
And I was like, yay. Because, you know, that meant like nobody else had to deal. It wasn't like she was one of those teachers where like it was a just me thing. Like I was the only student that was affected negatively by her. Like, it was other students. Like, she was probably one of the least liked teachers.
I'm waiting for a substitute to return.
Don't worry, I had her. May I just say, she's one of the teachers who just blah, 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 textbook this, textbook that.
Literally.
Only read from the textbook, did no lessons.
You want to know who I'm waiting to retire in my school?
Oh, no names, please.
I mean, I already said the name of my teacher, but.
Come back. Sorry to.
Sure. We got like.
How many minutes do we have?
Two minutes. A minute.
Two minutes? Okay.
It's like 6:58.
Well, I want to bring it all down to promoting our work that we've done at ROMI.
Including DJ Reki and DJ Cola, by the way. When you say our work. Yeah,
yes.
Go ahead. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, the youth work. I totally relate to what you guys are saying, but at the same time, as a 43-year-old, I can, you know, also relate to your teachers who, I think what I'm feeling is that you guys have this, like, really, like, energy of, like, you know, it's like duel, you know what I'm talking about? Like a duel, like knights do, cowboys do, it's like really, like, I'm confronting you, I take no BS type of energy coming from all of you, and I feel relate to it, and I feel kind of energized by it because I have that in me too. But I also have this tired 43-year-old that I just have to survive today.